are not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it? Showtime prime time.
It's XL Prime Time, featuring Joe C.
And then he couldn't fire his glutes later.
Matt Hayes.
His balls are different in person.
And Leon Searcy.
So they were smelling themselves.
Oh my gosh.
With no deal.
How you like me now? How you like me now?
Welcome in. 2 o'clock hour, ready to crank it out. XL Prime Time on a beautiful Wednesday, Golf Club of Southampton Wednesday, where you can definitely enjoy a little golf this afternoon, the 9 after 5. It will crank right around 5:15, 5:20. And as I was warned earlier today, it could be a little chilly tonight. So bundle up, okay? Just be aware. Temperatures are going to be in the mid-90s.
I was going to say, what are you talking about?
They're probably in the mid-90s right now. And then I looked and I shot Derek DeStefano, the owner, down at the Golf Club of Southampton. That's all the vowels except you.
Mm-hmm.
I shot him a picture at 6 o'clock. I think it's going to be 91 degrees.
Yeah.
How's the Searcy sweat towel handle that?
No, you know, since I dropped some LBs, I haven't been sweating as much. You know, you drop 50 pounds, you don't sweat as much when you get out in the heat. But I can tell you this, though, in my apartment complex, 2 days ago, the AC broke.
Oh,
it broke. It was hot. It was terrible. Yeah. It wasn't broke, but it was blowing out lukewarm air. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't blowing out cold air. So they brought in one of those portables that they sit in your living room.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been sleeping out there every night.
I'm sure that's great for your back.
Oh, yeah, the living room. Yeah, the air mattress in the living room. Gets me.
Well, by the way, as we're talking real quick, and we set it up, Golf Club of Southampton, don't forget, 287-PLAY. Call, get on the tee sheet tonight. We would love to see you. They got a 9-hole game. You're right there in the middle of your afternoon. You're looking around. You know what? Yeah, I could be ready. And you got 9-hole game, food afterwards, some prizes. So make sure you take advantage of it and come out and join us. But as I'm thinking to myself, when you said that, you know, as hot as it is, AC broke.
Mm-hmm.
What about the coaching?
The coach is going well, you know.
Have you been sweating?
Yeah, I've been sweating. I've been sweating. Aaron Beasley's the head coach. Sofer
is that Duval Charter?
At Duval Charter. Beasley is the head coach. Big Sofer is the OC. Don Vidaris is handling the safeties, and I got the offensive line. And you know, it's been interesting. I mean, I've got a lot of try hard kids. A lot of try-hard kids. They give a lot of great effort, but a lot of them just haven't played football before, you know, so haven't really played organized football. So I'm just trying to be able to establish that aggression and put it in the right direction. But I just got to have kids. I got some kids who are afraid to make mistakes. The game of football is about making mistakes. You just learn from your mistakes.
Life is about making mistakes.
Yeah, life's about making mistakes. I mean, I had one particular kid who was holding the bag, you know, and I said, hey, listen, I need you guys to rotate every 4 plays because we're in team period, right?
Uh-huh.
We're only running a couple of plays. We're playing inside zone, outside zone, and trap, power, all right? And when we get on two, we got 3 protections. We got base protection, 4 down in the mic, then we got Rip and Liz. And it's just the kids are afraid to make mistakes. And I tell them, listen, if you don't know what to do, ask the guy next to you. I just need you to go full speed straight ahead. Once you get the information, just give me full speed. I can direct you on the technique and fundamentals initially, mm-hmm. but I just need you to be a little aggressive.
I don't mean to be the guy that has to point out the obvious, but if the coach was Joe Coward, I don't think they'd be afraid to make the mistakes.
Yeah,
I think the fact that you're the coach is not a problem. It's they're worried that they're going to look bad in your eyes.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know, bro. I'm pretty engaging.
I'm not saying has anything to do with you.
Oh, you're talking about my
size. I'm just saying your presence, who you are.
The presence, yeah.
You're a Hall of Famer.
Half those kids have no idea who I am.
But you're a Hall of Famer pro bowler.
No, they don't. Unless they probably Googled me.
Yeah.
Maybe they Googled me.
You don't think B said anything to him?
He probably did.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Because they look up and their eyes kind of get big looking and saying, I don't think I could do what he did.
Yeah, but I'm not a yeller. I'm a teacher. I mean, you know, I'm probably a little bit too friendly on the
phone. You're all pro, though.
Man. I know I'm all pro, but I'm also a teacher.
Get in
though.
Get in there every once in a while.
Yeah, you know.
Don't be afraid to go Jimmy Johnson.
Here's the thing. Okay, here when it comes to me, the coaching, when I was playing, the yelling and screaming coaches never came across to me well. The coaches that came to me and talked to me,
right?
Then I'm engaging. The yelling and screaming, I'm like, man, I ain't got time for you.
Mm-hmm. They put their arm around you were talking.
No, I didn't need that either.
You didn't need that either.
I just need to be somewhere in between.
There's a fine line.
What if they grab your face mask?
No, I didn't like that.
No.
Yeah. I never had my face mask grabbed because
really?
I never did, no.
There's a fine line, though. Yeah. No question about it. And as a matter of fact, we're going to bring up one of the coaches coming up here just a little bit. Brian Kelly went through that where he got in trouble, criticized for his demeanor on the sidelines, the way he was interacting with players, and he definitely has changed it. But I wonder if he's going to have to go back in the other direction based on some of the conversations that he's been having. So we'll get into that coming up a little bit later on. But it's a fun discussion that started through conversations with the NBA postseason going on, with the NFL draft going on, everything that's been talked about. Austin Rivers' quote is, I can take 30 players right now. Do you have it right there? All right, go ahead and hit it because this was a fun conversation that kind of got cranked up on social.
Where the best athletes in the world are, that's us. I could take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA.
Whoa. It's because you only allow five on the court. Let's all relax.
It's because you get a break every play. All you got to do is catch the ball and run north or south.
Listen, our sport.
It ain't complex. So
our sport's better. Our sport's better because we would just create a position for one of you 5'2", 40, running 6'10" guys and just put them, can't get hit much, fragile. Yeah. All right. A little thin, very tall. We would just create a position because we got big brains in our sport.
Listen,
that's what we would
There's a reason why hip hop artists, when they rap, they compare themselves to ballers. They're not talking about footballers, they're talking about basketball players.
That's because they're not tough. And I'm a punter. This is me being a punter saying all these things.
All right. So that was the conversation on the McAfee Show. And so we just kind of bridged this yesterday in our pre-show production meeting, just having a little bit of a laugh with it. You actually had a little bit of a laugh with it.
Yeah, it's funny. It's also funny and it's insulting. At the same time, it's a little funny that basketball player. First of all, basketball players are playing basketball because they couldn't make it in football. When I said make it, every basketball player at some realm played football but didn't want to get hit. So then they picked up the basketball and went on the court. I would just like to know where Austin Rivers would like to play because we'll find him a position. Maybe we put him at slot. You can put him at slot. He won't get off the press coverage, all right? And then if we put him off the press coverage, the DB's is going to line him up with an ongoing safety, and he's going to come across the middle, and the linebacker and the safety is going to just – all it's going to take is a couple of times for those guys to get hit, and then they'll change their mind. See?
Well, he's also like 6'6", isn't he, Austin Rivers? 6'5",
He's about 6'5", 6'6".
Where's he going to play?
Yeah.
Well, he'd have to put on some LBs. He'd have to be looking at that.
No, but he didn't say that.
Yeah, exactly.
He said right off the court.
He said right off the court.
Right off the court.
Which is comical.
Yeah, it is comical.
Not only that, because I can still remember, like football players going into the gym in college and playing the basketball team. And just annihilating them.
Yes. I was there at Miami. Yes, I was there at Miami, I think my sophomore or junior year.
Like they wanted no part of them.
Our basketball team was terrible, okay? So our basketball team was terrible. Well, we had some elite athletes on our team, Lamar Thomas, Horace Copeland, all those type of guys. They played our basketball team.
Those dudes could run the floor.
Yeah, in the intramural basketball court and just destroyed them. And I remember, listen, Al Horford, right?
Oh, yeah.
His son, his daddy, Tito Horford, was on the team.
Yeah.
And I saw Horace Copeland dunk on him. And then, I saw it right there. Dunk on him on a 7-footer. Yeah. Yeah, that part.
Oh, yeah. And that's getting posterized. By the way, the NBA, as we have documented on the show, not as physical as it once was. Wow. And so, yeah, these guys now, I don't know if they could walk onto a football field and have success. But anyway, Dan Orlovsky decided to put it out there. He goes, easy 30. And he named guys that he thought could go from the NFL game, to your point, sirs, from the NFL game, to the NBA, to the association, and he threw a bunch of them out. DeMarcus Lawrence, Devonta Smith, meaning DeAndre Hopkins, Aiden Hutchinson, went down the line and named a bunch of other guys, Justin Fields, Mark Andrews, and you can start thinking of guys that have the body type, and we've talked about it a bunch. You've seen guys that have walked off of basketball courts onto football fields and have had success, but just it's a good story because there just aren't that many of them. Whereas you go the other way, like you said, those guys can ball all day.
Both sides have unique traits. And to imply that you could just walk on someone else's stage and perform well is insulting, to be quite honest with you, because there's a lot more that goes into it that you don't see behind the scenes. Now, football is the tackling, the hitting, and all the other kind of stuff. Basketball, the skill set is what? Shooting, dribbling, all that other kind of stuff. So, I mean, both will have their own uniqueness, but, I mean – like, what's his name? Like, we're tougher, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Bron his size, on size alone, could be a tight end. But
it could be.
The problem is his heart pumps Kool-Aid. He's not going out there and, like, getting physical with people. It's not happening.
Well, yeah. Listen, the first time he's gang tackled.
I know he's your guy. He's a Laker and all that.
It's
one thing to be bodied up in the paint and all that. And you kind of bulldoze your way into a shot. It's another thing to get lit up. When your arms are up, and you guys on the YouTube watching the stream, just imagine your arms are up, and then that helmet or shoulder pad.
But, Joe, how about this part? When you do catch the ball, and the DV wraps around you, and then the linebacker and the safety say, hold him up, hold him up, hold him up, and they come over the top with the elbows and they hit you in the chest. All it takes is a couple of times for that to happen. I've heard it. Hold him up, hold him up. And they just coming over the top with elbows and everything.
Now, there have been guys who have done it. Antonio Gates is a great example.
They're a good success story. So
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, there are guys who have done it. No doubt.
Jimmy Graham has done it. Yeah, absolutely.
Tight end is probably the easiest spot for basketball players.
Mm-hmm. Because it kind of matches size and stature. Size, and in other words, if you're a power forward, you could probably be a tight end, that type of deal. I don't know whether you could be a rush end. You might be able to. But there have been only so many of them with that type of size. Ed Too Tall Jones going way back.
Well, here's the thing. But with Jimmy Graham actually, he played 3 years of basketball at Miami. His last year eligibility, I believe, he played football for Miami. Mm-hmm. So he understood the skill set. So then when he got drafted, so at least he had a year under his belt to play the position. Walking off the court, the NBA court, and just coming to play in the NFL is crazy.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this, Leon. Charles Barkley says it all the time. I put on the pads one time in high school, and I realized that football wasn't for me.
And that's the big round of sound.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to be the one doing the elbowing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's the truth. Off the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures, 641-1010. You guys can jump in on this conversation. Like we said, go to the MyBookie Digital Studios. All you got to do is search 1010XL on YouTube and chime in there. But I would say basketball players are smarter since they chose a career path in which they are not going to leave the game with a brain injury, more than likely, and they could play much longer. Look, you can have all sorts of theories. I think more than anything else, what drives anybody? I don't think they look at long-term earnings potential when they're growing up. I think they look at what they like and what they're good at. And certain guys can just hold that basketball, see that target, and just hit it. Hit it, hit it. Other guys just want to either play defense, offense. Like helicopter dads, they may raise kids to play a certain sport because they know the long-term future of it. But
yeah, but the players that got it good is baseball, to be honest with you. You hit 3 of 10, you're an all-star, right?
Yeah. You strike out 7 times.
You're good to go. that's where the bread's at.
I've never understood the idea of that the NBA players are the greatest athletes. It's not that I'm disagreeing. I don't understand what makes NBA players better athletes than football players.
Well, it does look like they just go.
Or hockey players, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. They go 90 miles an hour. They glide. They jump through the gym. They can do so many things.
They don't get hit.
Well, I know that, but athleticism. There's like toughness and athleticism. At least you could probably come up with an argument a little bit different.
Sound like they're gymnasts with a ball.
Now you are taking shots. So
they started it.
Clearly, I'm thirsty shot right there, man. Yeah. That was not me.
All right, so X-Poll question. You can set it up, RJ. Yeah. You got it?
Yeah, I'm about to put it out here shortly.
Okay, all right. So we'll set it up and have a little fun with that. All right, so we're cranking along. Golf Club Southampton Wednesday, 2-8-7 play. And when I'm starting to look at the list that was put out there, just as far as great guys, can you imagine a Derrick Henry playing basketball? Anyone going to take that charge? Huh? Anyone going to take the Diesel's charge?
That's a business decision. That's a business decision.
There have been plenty that made business decisions on football fields. Yeah. Just imagine on a basketball court.
But to be honest, he will be far and away the smallest guy on the court. Height-wise.
Yeah.
So, you got to remember that. Like, it's a little bit different when you start to think, like, Steph is taller than him, right? He's taller than
Derrick Henry is what, 6'4"?
Is he that tall?
He's 6'3".
6'3". Yeah. He's about Steph Curry's height.
It'd be the same height.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. I mean, I think it's easier for us to see, but we don't really remember that the NBA guys are much bigger guys, at least in stature, height-wise, than the NFL guys.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. I've seen plenty of videos of this guy where people make business decisions, and he's a great football player, but once he gets on the court, there's a lot of guys that make business decisions. Myles Garrett. Yeah, he'll go out there running, jumping, and dunking. And if he gets in the lane, I've seen the C part when he comes through.
Yeah, look out. Look out. That's for sure. All right, so we'll have a little fun with that today. Get into it. I want to start looking at position groups in the AFC South across the board as far as where this team ranks with the rest of them. We did the draft class. We did the free agent combo offseason math as far as where this team is versus the other one. So we'll have a little fun with that as we go along today. College football, and this thing was said to me earlier today that just kind of struck me. Four Power Four schools in the state of Florida. It's time to recognize the fourth. So we'll touch on that coming up as well. The Golf Club of Southampton bringing you today's show. It's XL Primetime. Joe C., Matt Hayes, Big Sirs, and RJ.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So right now, Zay Jones is out and about. He's been released by your Jaguars. He's making the rounds, just trying to get an idea of where he may end up. He's visited a few places, including the Tennessee Titans. Nothing has happened there. But now Scotty Miller, 26 years of age, with the Falcons last year, he's going to sign a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, Zay, I would classify as better than Scotty Miller. Okay, but Miller goes up to Pittsburgh under Arthur Smith, who was his old head coach, and now is the offensive coordinator up there. You figure total numbers, not we're talking nondescript for Scotty Miller. But the bottom line is teams are making decisions, looking at options as far as how they're going to fill out the depth of their receiver room.
Well, I mean, Liz, earlier, I mean – I know Zay Jones wants to get in and get himself acclimated to a team right now, but teams aren't as desperate right now. I mean, it's not even training camp. Teams get desperate around training camp when guys start going down and falling.
Sure.
And you don't sit back as a player and say, I hope somebody goes down, but that's just nature of the beast. Guys go down during training camp, and then teams right before the season get a little bit more desperate, and then maybe whatever you're asking for, because, you know, teams are fresh off the draft. You know, they're trying to make room for rookies and free agents and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes veterans get, you know, lost in the wind. But Zay Jones, I think if he's healthy, he's going to make a team somewhere.
Yeah, and Dallas is the latest. He's visiting there, has, of course, Texas roots. Pelissero reporting that the Cowboys have released Martavis Bryant and that they're interested in, you know, looking at other options, and that's why Zay Jones would be among those visiting. So he's got a chance. If you go back to 2022, over 80 grabs, over 800 yards, 5 touchdowns, 29 years of age. If he's healthy, which we think that PCL problem that he had that was cleaned up that Matt famously describes
as a bone bruise. No, I didn't describe it as that. That's what they said it was.
I mean, Matt famously stays on it. Anyway, he did not have the season he was hoping for this past year, that's for sure.
Speaking of bone bruises, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, you got to tell the story. All right, listen up. On YouTube, and you can go back and you can start the show over if you miss it. All you got to do is just go search XL Primetime and the MyBookie Digital Studio. You can start over. But anyway, you've got to tell the story, so you guys got to see what's going on here.
So I'm wrestling, or as Hacker likes to say, wrestling. I'm wrestling last night with my dog, 70-pound lab. I'm just fooling around. He quick jerks real quick to try and grab my arm, and his head, he's got this giant head. You know, labs have big heads.
Oh, yeah.
Hits my thumb. My left hand, my thumb, and it hurt. I was like, man. And I kind of shook it a little bit, and then I felt my watch was, like, buzzing. So I look at my watch, and it says, it looks like you had a fall. And it's calling 911.
Whoa. This
so
is
all
nuts.
You guys are out there saying AI is a good thing, okay?
Did you have to, like, what did you actually have to do?
I scrambled to stop the call, yeah. And then I was thinking, well, they're going to call back. I know they're going to call back because usually that's what happens with 911. If you stop a call,
right?
Sometimes they'll call back. But they didn't call back, thankfully. And it was weird.
Will you get a bill in the mail?
Maybe.
From the emergency
service?
Yeah,
probably will.
But that is
But he didn't care. He looked at me like, what?
Yeah.
What? You were wrestling with me.
So you were hit so hard that.
First off, it hurt. Like, it hurt my thumb. Like, he hit it that hard. Because he jerked real quick and hit my thumb at an awkward spot. And then I'm not even thinking, right? And my watch starts buzzing, and I look at it and it says, it looks like you've taken a fall.
So this is a dumb
question. And 911 is being dialed on my phone.
That is nuts. This is.
Thank you, RJ.
Yeah. Hey, they're coming in. They're going to haul your big behind into the ER now, or your slightly less big behind into the ER. now that you've dropped 40 plus. The idea, though, are you signed up with Apple as far as emergency services? Is that what it is?
I mean, I got the watch as a gift and I just put it on, so I don't think I am.
I am very curious about that. Mm. Like, you can think of immediately OnStar and some of these.
Sure, yeah. Of course. Yeah. But the fact that they're like, it looks like you've taken a fall. I mean, that's weird.
Yeah, usually you got to opt into that bad.
So then I'm starting to look around my place. And is somebody like watching me right now?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's like that Sting song. Oh, can't you see you belong to me?
Sing it, man.
Y'all think that's a love song. That's not a love
song.
It's
a freaky, freaky love song is what it is. All right, I mentioned the Big Four among the Power Four in the state of Florida. And I'm joking when I say get used to it, but maybe not. Gus Malzahn has done some decent things down at Central Florida. And the conversation, just based on the way things have unfolded, is that they were on the outside looking in. They were a group of five star begging to get into the Power Five. Then the Power Five shrunk to a Power Four, and they were just invited into the Big 12. Now, it's a meaty schedule that they've got because they got the Big 12 newcomers coming in, including Utah. I have to go and look at their total schedule.
It's
but
not that bad, actually.
Yeah.
They got New Hampshire
at
home.
They got a decent chance.
Sam Houston at home. TCU on the road. Colorado at home. At Florida on the road. Cincinnati at Iowa State. BYU at home. Arizona at home. At ASU. At West Virginia. Utah at home. So they've got Utah, Arizona, Cincinnati. So three of the big teams in the Big 12, they're all at home.
All right, hold the schedule there because I want to make this the 10-10 take because this is kind of interesting that Gus does have KJ Jefferson as his starting quarterback and went and hauled in a couple of other guys. I think it's Penny Jones, one of the running backs that they really like. Let's do it.
Now, Joe C's 10-10 take. Slow smoked and served up by Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since 68.
They know when you're hungry, even without AI. That's what Sonny's does. They get up early, they start smoking that meat and making sure that they are ready to go. Whenever you come in, you want you a good meal, you want some good barbecue beans, fries, garlic bread, cornbread, whatever your choices are, you can get it all at any one of your area Sonny's. So make sure you drop on by and say hello to them. The date, please, Matt Hayes, of Florida v. UCF.
Florida v. UCF is OCC 5.
Okay, OCC 5. And then add the date of the Florida-Miami game, Big Sur's.
August 31st.
Okay, so between August 31st and OCC 5, is it possible that the Florida Gators are 0-2 inside the Sunshine State? And what type of effect will that have? We've already talked about the fact that it would have a negative effect if they lose to Miami, and then you'll hear the Boo Birds, the Billy Napier's band will fire up and be very loud. But if they drop one to UCF as well before you reach the second Saturday of October, oh my, that is the 10-10 take. What do you think about that possibility? Because we're looking at Florida and Miami as both of them trying to build back up. Build back better,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So build back up to where they can actually compete for crowns, championships, big bowl games, the playoff, all that type of stuff. If they go 0-2 inside the Sunshine State?
I mean, honestly, I don't know what to think about this team right now. Seriously, I could easily see them going 1-4 in their first five games. Florida. I could also easily see them going 5-0 in their first five games.
Mm-hmm. Miami
at home, you got Samford at home, you got Texas A&M at home. Then you're at Mississippi State, which is rebuilding with a brand new coach.
Yeah.
And you got UCF at home. I could easily see them being 5-0. Mm-hmm. But if you lose that first game, all bets are off.
They are. They really are. So, Gator fans, you can hit the text line or jump in on YouTube, but 641-1010 or chime in on YouTube as far as the idea that what would you be thinking if your football team, led by Billy Napier, is – and you can call him Billy Vanilla if you want. I have all sorts of names for him. But what would you be saying if they were 0-2 inside the Sunshine State? And then we can play the game.
Yeah, well, the line has moved. I mean, initially, a couple of months ago, I mean, the line is 2 Miami. Miami's is 2-point
favorite.
Yeah, I thought it was a pick 'em initially.
The road. Wow.
Yeah, 2-point favorite on the road, yeah.
Yeah, let me see if I can find this here because I had them pulled up just as far as the numbers go. But
that line is a little.
Again, after watching that Florida offensive line in that spring game, I think I can see why it's going to be Miami
too. Yeah.
Florida is a 2-point dog, and we could probably poke around and find some other ones. But if you take a look, like our conversation that we had yesterday, and you college football fans jump in, our conversation yesterday is that Miami, when we went through the schedule with Leon, he jumped right over Florida State and said they're going 7-0, and then he had a hiccup when you asked him about Duke. Was that to go 8-0 or to go 9-0?
To go 9-0.
That was to go 9-0.
Yeah.
That was to go 9-0. And we had plenty of fans jumping in on the text line. They were having a field day. I got a couple of them that they were definitely just saying.
Oh, they were mad because I didn't pause at Florida State?
Oh, they were so fire-breathing
mad. Get used
to
it. I ain't pausing no more at Florida State.
Okay, so there aren't too many games that Florida State will be an underdog in.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably, based on the schedule we just went through, there aren't too many that you guys will be an underdog in early.
Yeah, early.
Early.
Yeah, early.
Whereas Florida, at least according to FanDuel, and we can go to any MyBookie, any of these, they're a 2-point dog to Miami. They're a 4-point dog to A&M. That's within the first month of the season. If you go beyond that, 11-point dog to Tennessee, 13.5 dog. This is way down the line with FSU.
Right. I mean, to be fair, Duke has beat Miami 3 of the last 5 times they played. So for Leon to hesitate, he's probably right on that, actually.
There is some scar tissue.
Yeah, there is, bro. It used to be a time where Duke was homecoming. Yeah. Not any longer.
So we went over Florida State's minds. We didn't go over Florida's, like, as far as what games are you putting in the dub column? What games are you putting in 50-50?
Mm-hmm.
All right? So Miami's 50-50, right? Sanford, we'll put in that dub column. Texas A&M's 50-50, right?
Yes. At home. Yes. 100%.
Mississippi State is a 50-50 game. It's on the road. Mm-hmm. Even though they're a better team.
They got to beat them. They have got to beat Cowbell.
You would think you've got to go in there. When one way or the other, you've got to win that game. I don't care if it's 10-6. You've got to win that game.
They've got to beat Cowbell.
So, we'll put that as a dub. So, that's two. All right? That's two dubs, two 50-50s. UCF
no subs for dubs.
UCF at home. Dub or 50-50?
That's a 50-50 game. Trust me. It is a 50-50 game right now.
You think that's 50-50?
I think it's 50-52. Yeah.
All right. It's 2-3. At Tennessee, it's definitely 50-50.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kentucky at home. It's definitely 50-50.
Right. 50-50. And it's a game they should win. You should not ask that question, but yeah.
Speaking of losing 3 of the last 5, they've lost 3 of the last 5 to Kentucky.
Yeah.
Georgia, it's a loss, but it's a 50-50 game, right?
Mm-hmm.
At Texas, 50-50. LSU at home, 50-50. Ole Miss at home, 50-50. On the road, Florida State, 50. So they literally have
two dubs.
Samford, and that's
State.
It.
And Mississippi State, you got to put them in.
All right, we'll put Sip State in there.
Come
two
on.
Games. Two games on a 12-game schedule where you think that's a dub.
Yeah.
Two.
That's something else. And that's where you are.
Florida State, we had 9.
You win that first game, you change the opinion. Yeah, Florida State's only going to be a dog against Notre Dame or one of those teams – really deep into their schedule. All right, 641-1010, you guys jump in on that. Just real quick, from the NBA versus the NFL, did you put the X poll up? All right, give it to us, RJ.
Yes, our X poll question brought to you by the good folks at Beaver Toyota and Beaver Chevrolet. Which NBA players do you believe, if any, could play in the NFL today? Search on X at 1010XL and let us know your thoughts.
Exactly. Charlie Ward definitely mentioned because he chose the NBA over the National Football League after winning a trophy, and he was pretty dang smart when he did that. And then Leon went after the gymnast, and they're after you now. Leon, pound for pound, gymnasts are the strongest athletes, so you just better back off. All right. one person says, just turn that setting off, Matt. I don't know whether that's something you can easily do.
That's not the best
when
one,
it comes
Joe.
To
the 264 says, a guy I know was riding his electric bike drunk, then hit a person with no injuries. When he fell, his Apple Watch called 911. He got a DUI and went to jail.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Just make sure, man. Make sure you're careful. Westside Bell was involved in an auto accident a couple weeks ago. Afterwards, my Apple Watch stated that it looks like I was involved in an accident. Would you like to call 911 and call 911 for me?
You know,
I hope you're okay.
Right. When I see these things, like, in last night when it happened, I was kind of like, It always reminds me like Terminator 2 when like, you know, the rise of the machines, when the machines had taken over.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, is that what this world's going to be like after we're dead and gone? Is it going to be like literally machines taking over?
You ain't going to be dead and gone when it happens.
Yeah. Just
that's how Hollywood lets you know they prepare you.
Yeah.
I think I'm watching movies.
Picture the Star Wars
bar. You're telling me within 30 years, within 30 years there's going to be machines running this world.
Well,
and we're going to be hiding in like tunnels and stuff.
Not me.
Picture the Star Wars bar, okay? You just turn and look and you got some dude named Chewbacca next to you. All right.
What would we be caring about with the Gators finishing 30 years, Leon?
let's say hello to Dr. George Barry. Come up here in a second. It's the Golf Club of Southampton Wednesday. Don't forget, 287 play. Get on the tee sheet. You got until about 5:15. You get there, hit a few warm-up balls in the cart. You go, nine-hole game, food afterwards, prizes, always a bunch of fun. So if you can't make tonight, make sure you make one of our nine after fives or just go out and enjoy a great golf experience at the Golf Club of Southampton. So we'll stay on this as far as the college football world is concerned. But don't forget, on X, you can vote as far as guys that you think could translate from one sport to the other, because we're battling over this NFL NBA talk. Who could walk off the court and onto a football field?
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL. Our next guest is not affiliated with the NFL or Jacksonville Jaguars.
Discussion of injuries is solely based on opinion.
Now, the Barry Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Injury Breakdown.
I'm coming in hot.
Our buddy Gio is in the house. Gio, Dr. George Barry, fellowship trained under the renowned Dr. James Andrews and Barry Orthopedics, ready to take care of you locally. Gio, how you doing, man?
What's up, man?
We got some sports injuries that we want to get into you with, but we've got a rookie minicamp coming up. We got to look at a lot of Jag players. So we'll be talking about them, but we got baseball on the brain, basketball on the brain, and if you're out there listening and you have a sports injury, you can hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010 and throw a question Gio's way. It's free medical advice. Are you prepared to give free medical advice?
I am.
All right. Even though you like to charge me for it, I totally get it, but you're giving it to the people free. All right. Listen, I was pretty excited about this story. Walker Buehler, you know, I'm a Dodgers fan, and Walker Buehler comes back from two Tommy John surgeries, okay, from 2018 to 2021. We know how dominant he was, but he had a Tommy John before that, and then he was out this past year with a Tommy John again. And so the thing I was so encouraged about, Gio, is that he came back. He was throwing in the mid-90s, didn't get a decision, but at the same time, velocity, and he has basically said, I just want to get back on the mound and compete. That's a great story, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. If you look at revision Tommy John's, the years after, so normally after Tommy John's, this statistically they come back, players have about 5-year life expectancy after that, on average. After revision Tommy John's, it goes down to 2.6 years, right? Ooh. So it really cuts in half, right? The longevity of your career. Now that's on average, so some people less, some people more, but you can see that a revision, definitely the results are not as good as a primary for Tommy John's.
All right, so Jarvis Landry, he's played with a bunch of different teams in the NFL, former LSU
former
All-American,
Dolphin, former Brown.
Dolphin, everywhere. He's been invited to the Jaguars rookie camp. They want to see what he's got left in his tank, all right? His injury history is not good. He had a rib fracture, a hip fracture, three different knee sprains, three different injuries on the same foot. Those same knee, too, by the way, the right knee. The right foot, he had a pedal foot fracture in college.
Watch
then
your
mouth. Then he had a pedal foot sprain also in college, all on the same foot. And then the most recently, in 2022, September 2022, he had a pedal ankle sprain grade 2. And he's
same
what,
foot? 30? 31.
31.
31 coming in, and he's going to be part of the mini camp.
That's a lot of injuries for a 31-year-old cat.
It is a lot of injuries. And those last three are all on the same foot.
All on the same foot. And the knees are all on the same knee.
Right. So, you know, those are problems, right? So now you have chronic injuries on the same part, especially the foot. Now it's three on the same foot, a fracture, and then two sprains, if that's what you just said. I mean, look, it's a problem, and I think they're definitely going to have to look at those body parts closely. A rib fracture is a rib fracture, nothing to do for it, and that's one of those things that happens. But when you have an injury on a body part and then you continuously have another injury on that same body part, it really does get you a little worried about it.
So he missed 9 games in 22, did not play at all in 23.
Because of injury or just because he was out?
Well, no one wanted him. No one picked him up. I don't know if it was because of injury and because no one was interested, but now apparently he's healthy. And, I mean, so you're looking at like a year and a half off. Is that enough to completely heal this foot that has had some significant problems?
Well, I mean, if you look at those injuries separately, yes, a year and a half definitely heal all those injuries separately. The question is, he's had a cumulative effect on that foot and ankle. Is that foot and ankle normal?
Right.
Is he going to be able to use it normally? And that's going to be the main question.
Yeah, that's not good, man. And look, that's why he's in the position that he's in and getting an invite here. And the main reason, if you guys want to know the main reason why he is invited, is because every other LSU player is in Duval
now.
Also,
okay? Right.
Yeah. So you might as well just
call it.
They
could throw another one in there.
Yeah, just might as well call it LSU Duval. We can do that. I'm going to try and start
working. Can they get
Joe
Burrow? Is that possible?
Yeah, that would be nice. By the way,
wait, that's blasphemous. I probably shouldn't say that, right?
I'm glad you brought him up because as the story goes, at least right now, and I want to bring him up because there's a little bit of concern that here we are, Gio, in May, and you got OTAs taking place. And according to some of the reporting that's out there, his request for two byes basically in the NFL schedule is because he's complaining about being forced into that game where the wrist ultimately got hurt. And do you remember that one where there was ligament tears and he couldn't grip the football?
Wasn't that a while ago?
The week before Thanksgiving. That's why Jake Browning came in here.
I thought it was late October.
No.
No? Yeah, all right. No,
so he's still saying he's not back 100%
back. Yeah, not back 100%.
And he had surgery.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, that's so not good.
He's one of the ones.
That's some quality doctoring right there. That's not good.
That's radio doctor talking.
I mean, look, we say this all the time. Surgery is not every. First of all, we always tell people, I can't guarantee you're going to be 100%.
Right.
You know, and there's a prime example. And I bet you a lot of these football players aren't 100% after surgery, but they don't go out and say, they go, I'm feeling fine. He's saying, I'm not 100%.
Right.
And he's admitting it, which probably means it's worse than just being 90%.
Right.
Right. If he's admitting it.
Right.
So that's an issue. And the only way, you know, he's cleared to play. And the only way to see how he does is to actually go out there and see. But the fact that he's already saying he's not 100% when all these athletes will say they're 100% even when they're not.
Right.
Is a little bit of a concern. And it's been 6-7 months since the surgery.
Right.
So the fact that he's saying he's okay likely means he's about 60%. Right.
Now, listen, he's saying,
that's how I'd take it.
He's saying, I'm addicted to football and basically the wear and tear, but you know, he's loving it. He was back on the field earlier in the week, but there's still some concern about being able to do all the stuff that he's able to do. All right, I got to bring up Wilson Contreras because this was a nasty, nasty injury. Behind the dish. Had to leave the game last night in the second inning. JT Martinez is at the plate. His swing caught him in the left forearm. Broken left arm. Oh!
It looked bad, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if he had a both bone forearm fracture or not, but they did, I think they mentioned doing surgery. Usually, a couple things. If you have both bone forearm fracture, automatic surgery. That means you break the radius and ulna. If it's a radius fracture, you need to fix it. Not necessarily. You don't have to fix it. You can do a radius and ulna if they're fractured, but they're perfect position, you can keep it. Right. I don't know. I'm assuming he had a both bone, if I had to guess. But he's doing a surgery. They're out 6 to 8 weeks minimum. They already mentioned that. I think the best part of it is that they gave the batter first base after he
broke the interference, right?
Yeah, actually broke the arm.
So, wait. So, I mean, we're talking like a solid wood bat with that force.
Swinging that fast.
How is his arm – how does the bone not shatter, I guess, is the best way
It could be. It could be busted in a million pieces.
Okay.
We don't know, and that's maybe why they're fixing it. It could be comminuted, right? It could be a simple, they used to call them nightstick fractures, a fracture of your ulna, because a nightstick, you get hit by the cops.
Right.
And you put your arm, to block yourself, and it breaks your ulna, right? We have a name for that called nightstick fracture.
Yeah.
But the same concept, right? But I don't know. I mean, it could be completely shattered and comminuted in a bunch of pieces, and that's why they have to put it back together because it's not going to heal in a cast or is displaced. So we don't have the full details of what it is. I'm sure usually it comes out after surgery. Hey, I broke it in both places, and the doctor said it was in a million pieces. But right now we don't have that information.
Do they literally take piece by piece and put it back together? They use
if it's
plaster of some sort,
if it's
right?
comminuted, you can do what we call bridge plating where you just span the fracture, let the comminuted pieces be where they're at, as long as they're in a good spot, and it just kind of forms and heals together in that area.
Plaster of Paris.
Right? That's what I was thinking, man. Wrap it up a couple times.
Yeah, that's the casting part. Yeah. I forgot about that part. That's the casting. Listen, we got to turn him loose. He's got to get back to healing people. If you have a question, you can hit the text line 641-1010. We'll try and get it on Breaking Bones Sunday morning. It's all about sports injuries, and Dr. George Barry can help you. If they miss any of us or the podcast, they can find it.
Apple, Google, Spotify.
And don't forget BarryOrthopedics.com. If you have any sports injuries, check out our man, Dr. George Barry.
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, the city of Jacksonville and the Jaguars have agreed on the structure of the, quote, stadium of the future, and it will be unveiled in next week's city council meeting, May 14. Donna Deegan, the mayor of the fine city of Jacksonville, released a statement Wednesday saying, quote, we have reached an agreement on the framework of the deal.
Round of applause.
The negotiating team is currently putting the final details on paper, and we will release that information as soon as it is available.
All right, we need to. Yeah, this was announced earlier today, but it's still worth of that because we need to get into it.
Also, by the way, the city council still has to approve it.
Yeah. But at the very least, we were saying, okay, April came and went. What happened? And then they said May. That was looking like more of the target date, and at the very least, here we are, early May, and it's at the very least on the doorstep of happening. So then you start putting the calendar together. So we'll do that coming up. By the way, High Tide and the South Side did send exclusive footage of Matt after the incident with his dog, and it is posted on YouTube. And it's just one of those, you know, I fall and I can't get up videos, but it's very, very, very revealing.
It's accurate.
It is accurate. It's XL Primetime, Golf Club of Southampton, Wednesday.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL.
Hey, it's like that Sting song. Oh, can't you see you belong to me?
This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Cool is hearing Big Sur's belt out the tunes.
Everybody thinks this is a love song. This is a song about surveillance.
Stalking.
No, this is about the surveillance that is around the country that is on you that you have no idea that's on you. Once you go to research and do the song, this is what the song is talking about.
Yeah.
Every breath you take, every move you make, I'll be watching you, that age.
That's why your
phone went off.
Right, but I liked it back in the 70s when you were being watched and you didn't know it. You know, the 80s and 90s. You didn't know it, right? But then again, those are the days when you were afraid of real things.
You really could perv out and watch somebody and no one knew it.
Like we were talking in the break, and this guy whizzed by me this morning on the beach on an electric bike, and I'm thinking, an electric bike? How flipping lazy do you have to be, seriously, to ride an electric bike? Seriously.
Is it?
Who's 25, Party? 24? Yeah. 26.
He's a Twitter baby.
He starts talking about, oh, if you had an electric bike. No, I wouldn't. No.
I wouldn't want to know what it felt like as a kid.
If you could get from A to B, like it's A to Z with a motorized bike, you'd go for it. Let me tell you something. This is the thing that is throwing me off a little bit.
I enjoy the pain of walking everywhere, okay?
this is the sufferer, okay? I've got many nicknames for Matt.
That's right.
Gran Torino being
sufferer.
One of them.
You better believe it,
and sufferer being one of them as well. But like, the thing that throws me off is I could come up to a stop sign, and you want to just, you get used to a certain stop sign. You know what the traffic pattern is, right?
Yeah.
Just certain stop signs. You may not come to a 100% stop. You may just have a little bit of a roll, and then you lean, and you take your right, and you're off and running. Anyway, bikes you could see before, and you knew how far away they were and how long it was going to take for them to get there. Now you can't. They're going 30 miles an hour, bro.
Yeah.
They could be, like, you could turn and boom.
Yeah, but you, as a kid, when you're going downhill and you bike battle downhill, when you're riding your Huffy and you try to kick each other off the bike while you can't. Electric bike.
They're going 30 miles an hour.
It's too fast.
They go 30 miles an hour, but they don't abide by the motor vehicle rules. So they're going wherever they want on any lane they want, and they're going through stop signs.
I had a discussion with one of our dads inside the building, and he said, little man, Max, I'm pretty sure is who I'm talking about. Anyway, I hope I have it right. Anyway, Max, one of them, they are in this group of kids, and all these kids, you know, going up the bridge, going across the intercoastal, whatever, they got electric bikes that'll get them up that intercoastal in a heartbeat. Meanwhile, little man's pedaling his behind off, trying to stay with him, and he can't. And so I'm like, okay, I guess I understand it. You still want to be like with the group, but there's something wrong with not making your not growing up pedaling as opposed to an electric.
Guess who's going to have better calves?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he's going to have better calves. Better calves, better hams. Yeah,
better breathing patterns.
Yeah, that part.
Yeah. We are. And by the way, I do occasionally see the electric bike and someone is pedaling. And I think they're just trying to fake me out. They're just trying to just juke me just a little bit.
Now, did you guys do the thing where you would put like a baseball card like in the spokes?
Oh yeah.
Where
oh,
it would sound like it would sound like it's motorized. So technically you guys had a little motorized thing going on.
That's because we were dreamers, RJ. Yeah. We weren't given everything to us, okay?
I do love the old school, though. We had it tough. This is straight out of the playbook.
But it's just like we were talking apart. You haven't lived till you stared down a Doberman that's jumped the fence and was running after you.
Yeah. And by the way,
you couldn't get on your electric bike and ride away and go, ha ha.
Yeah. They weren't on leashes back then.
They weren't.
You had to account for every one of them, okay?
No, man.
Yeah, angry.
Especially those Dobermans and German Shepherds, Leon. Those were.
Yeah, they don't get tired.
No. Man, don't stop.
Listen, you got to adjust on the fly with those guys. You got to find a fence. You got to find a car, jump on it.
I know I'm hearing it. Back in my day, I can tell you what. Uphill both ways, in the snow, all that stuff.
Hey, look, you laugh, and we joke about it, but at the end of the day, those are the same kids that are sitting across the table from a college coach going, what do you got for me? Mm-hmm. And then a year later, sitting across from another college coach saying, yeah, that gave me that, and I'm done with them. What do you got for me?
But it is funny how we point all these bad ones out, and yet we take a look at this draft class, and we're salivating over them, okay? Because there's a lot of them that are still putting a hell of a lot of good work in. But this does bring us real quick. We need to get back to the stadium announcement, at least touch on a little bit. But let's play Brian Kelly, okay? Because Brian Kelly, successful head coach, ultra successful, winningest ever at Notre Dame. And when you say that, that's saying something. And goes from Cincinnati to Notre Dame, successful, then leaves there, goes to LSU. We all know what he's done down there. Heck, it might as well be LSU Uval because of the number of LSU Tigers that have made it here to Duval. But he was talking about, very simply, I cannot go out there and recruit and attract a player without the conversation that Matt's mentioning come up as far as where am I going to get paid? Where am I going to get taken care of financially? Hit the first bite from Brian Kelly on this subject, RJ.
Well, I think I made it pretty clear in a number of the press conferences that I had that we were in the market in recruiting in the transfer portal looking for defensive linemen. It hasn't fared very well, quite frankly, because, you know, we're selling something a little bit differently, and that is we want to recruit. We want to engage, build relationships. We want to develop, retain, and have you and have success. We're not in the market of buying players, and unfortunately, right now, you know, that's what some guys are looking for. They want to be bought.
He's not wrong. He's not lying. I'll tell you that. And the thing is there may be three teams that could do what he wants to do, build organically, grow a roster, develop a roster organically because you can get those elite players and retain those elite players because they believe in what you're selling. Georgia, Ohio State, but even Ohio State's
Bama forever.
Players now. Alabama forever, but now we're going to see what it's going to be like with Kalen DeBoer. So there might be three teams right now that are able to do that at that level. I could see Texas maybe getting there at some point. Maybe LSU getting there at some point, but it's the days of that are long, long gone.
And I keep submitting that I think one of the main reasons Saban stepped away is because he didn't want to be in a negotiating situation when it came to recruiting.
Yeah, I can agree with that, absolutely. I don't know, I just took that what I heard Brian Kelly when he said that, I just took it a different way because that defense that was so atrocious last year, it was like he was saying defense wins championships, but offense wins sales tickets. Because LSU, if last year they just had a average defense, I mean, I know you're not spending it. I know what he's saying is that we're not going to buy guys, but there's got to be some kind of commitment defensively after what they did last year. Now, offensively, they were spectacular. Had a Heisman Trophy winner. He had two receivers going in the first round. But at some particular point, you got to play some kind of defense.
Their entire secondary was transfer portal guys.
Yeah.
Jordan Jefferson's from West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Guillory was a guy they recruited and developed. Mason Smith's a guy they recruited and developed.
But was coming back from injury.
The injury hurt him. you look at Harold Perkins, a guy they recruited and developed, but for some reason, you know, they moved him to the middle, and I have no idea why you move a guy like that who's a terror on the edge.
Never
they
ever
moved him to
done.
The middle.
Mm-hmm. Never so ever would have done.
Right. So there's I think he saw last year and he saw how poorly they played defensively and said, "Wait a second, this isn't going to work, man. We've got to develop. We've got to grow and develop our own guys, recruit them and develop." And I understand what he's saying. I just don't know that you have the ability in this day and age to have that kind of patience at that level that LSU is at.
Well,
I mean, wants to be at.
Well, I'm a stickler. Like, look, continue to do what you do well. I mean, score points.
Yeah.
Until you figure. I mean, does he have that capability where he can just score points and then?
Somehow
let the defense come along? Because if they had an average defense, if they were like in the middle of the SEC, we're talking about this team possibly playing for the championship.
Yeah, sure. They were.
I don't have any question.
Yeah, they were 108th outside of the top 100. They were at the bottom of the barrel. I think Vandy was the only one below them when it came to some of their numbers. Even Florida was slightly ahead of them. But the other
Which
thing
tells
is
you a
that,
lot right there.
Yeah.
Because that was a horrific Florida defense.
But the other part that you said that 100% is true is that those Cajun football teams, Big Vic would attest to this, my neighbor, is they flat out put good defensive talent on the football field. They have
DBU.
Forever. DBU. And honestly, those linemen.
D-linemen too, yeah.
And you can go to the Patrick Queens of the world, just really front to back.
Dorsey.
So,
Chad Lavallee,
so
they
good.
Had some mean defensive line.
And so he's got to make the decision. Brian Kelly does, which is what the Big 12 suffers from, what the Pac 12 suffers from, what maybe
everyone
even,
suffers from.
Yeah, maybe the SEC starting to suffer from a little bit is that you want to put all your talent on one side of the ball and all your recruiting efforts on one side of the ball. So you're right. An average defense would have gotten him home. That's for sure. All right. So one more from him. Did you play the second soundbite? Did you play them together? Okay. Here's the second part of it. And again, this is following the same theme. And this is a discussion that maybe FSU fan has had with Mike Norvell. Would you rather get a transfer portal guy or would you rather use the recruiting ranks and develop players? Here's Brian Kelly on that part of it.
We're not going to go out and buy players. That's not what this is about. This was never about that. We will develop you. We will get you ready for the next step, as we did with Jaden Daniels, as we did with Malik Nabers, as we did with Brian Thomas. We developed three defensive linemen that all got drafted this year, and we'll do that again. But if you're just looking to get paid, you're looking in the wrong place. If you'd like all the things that we do here in developing our players, bringing you into a championship program, playing in front of the best fan base in America, playing for championships, and having an opportunity for NIL, you should be a Tiger. But if you just want to get paid, this is not the place for you.
Did you hear the accent, didn't you, right there? You should be a Tiger?
Yeah, you should be a Tiger.
So everything he's saying is not wrong. Okay, there's no lies there.
Calling Baton Rouge.
There's no lies there. And honestly, Florida State, at some point, this is going to hit them. Because when you hit like they hit the last 2 years in the portal, you're very fortunate. Because the odds, if you look at the rest of the teams in the country, the odds are you're not going to hit at that high level, especially 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And now they're basically going to try and do it again this year. Mm-hmm. And it's a different beast now because you don't have Jordan Travis anymore.
Yeah.
Now you got DJU, and you don't have Keon Coleman anymore.
Well, for that matter.
You don't have Benson anymore. These are guys that legitimate dudes that they got that fit perfectly into what they were doing and transitioned perfectly, and there was no – you know, there were no problems in the locker room. That stuff doesn't happen every year. It just doesn't.
Well, just remember, he took Jermaine Johnson, a cast-off from Georgia, turned him into a highly drafted lineman. Mm-hmm. Took Jared Verse from Albany, and I never, ever, ever would have guessed he was going to step onto that stage and become a highly drafted player. And then you can go down the line with the Bensons and the Wilsons and the Keons and all of them. But Brian Kelly's got to replace a Heisman Trophy winner in Jaden Daniels. And it's got to figure out. He may have a guy – already there in Doug Nussmeier, we don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know. It's got to be a blending of a hybrid of transfer players and recruits.
Yeah, but you can almost sense the frustration of Brian Kelly and probably all the other coaches in the country where an 18-year-old kid, 17, 18-year-old kid with their people sitting down in front of you, telling you, hey, listen, we got this on the table. Can you match it? And you know, and a lot of these coaches will say, listen, this is what we got for you.
Yeah.
You come here. We got the environment. We got the fan base. We got all the essentials. They're going to make you a better football player. Either you take it or leave it. At some particular point, you just got to stand your ground.
Yeah.
You got to draw a line in the sand and say, listen, enough is enough.
The problem is there are coaches who are not drawing the line. And that's where guys like Brian Kelly who want to do it that way are forced to do it another way because it's everyone else is doing it. If you don't do what everyone else is doing, you're going to fall behind. Now, will it get better when they start to get a percentage of the television revenue? Yes, it will get better. But NIL is not going away, and that's what people need to understand. Just because they're going to earn a specific percentage of the media rights revenue, let's say they get 30%, it doesn't mean NIL is all of a sudden off the table. NIL is completely separate. Mm-hmm. So they're still going to be wanting, you know, how can you set up NIL for me? What can you do NIL? The only difference is NIL now I think will be run directly through the universities and the programs.
Yeah,
they're not going to be middlemen anymore. They're not going to be third parties anymore directing and kind of massaging the situation. It will flow directly through them. They will make the deals.
And there's some rules and regs, signatures, and all kinds of stuff, consequences if you don't live up to it. And the other part of it is that the Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame was in large part because he wanted to be able to recruit and get more players that weren't available to attend Notre Dame. He could do that down in Baton Rouge. And now he's got to come up with ways, once again, to convince them to come there. All right, real quick, on the bike front. I almost fell in the St. John's River, says one of our texters. Riding a bike because someone was standing in the way texting while me and the group were on the downhill descent. And that's probably true.
Electric bike or regular bike?
I'm just guessing of a regular bike.
All right, I'm all right with that. Because if it was an electric bike, then I'd say, that's a shame.
Come on.
Look at O'Leary shaking his head.
All right, another one says, I used to think the same thing about the e-bikes, Matt. Then I got one for hunting. A lot of fun. Like a little motorcycle. Why don't you expand
I bet
your
they're a lot of.
A
I bet they're
bit.
A lot of fun. There's no doubt.
Right?
I'm being serious too. I bet they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it does look like they are a blast. But I'm telling you, you feel like you're getting left behind if you're just pedaling. You're just pedaling your fanny off, and you're just like a duck out of water. You can't catch up.
Plus,
with
it's not only
bike.
Just that. Like you haven't lived till your chain broke, man, and you got to fix the chain, right, Leon?
Yeah, we did that all the time.
I mean, you got to fix the chain.
You could change a flat on your bike in 10 minutes.
No, I ain't never had my chain broke, bro.
You never had your chain broke?
Oh, I'd have to fix them all the time.
Like they have tires now that are like tubeless tires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're never going flat. Yeah. You ever have to fix your flat?
Yeah, I had to fix the flat.
Yeah.
I had a Huffy bike.
Yeah.
You know what? It's called working out problems.
It is.
Finding solutions.
I know.
That's what it is. That stuff, O'Leary, filters through everyday life as you get older, okay?
Yeah. They don't even work on a car anymore. They can't.
Right.
Okay? It's all concealed, run by a chip. You used to be able to climb and, like, open the hood and climb into your truck and work on your engine.
Get your hands dirty.
Joe's coming over to Gran Torino side now. He's slowly getting here.
I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm not doing it anymore. It is XL Primetime. Golf Club of Southampton, Wednesday, 2-8-7 play. Anytime you want to go out, you're going to get a great golf experience. You can have an outing there, an event, whatever it might be. They've got music on the patio Friday nights, always a great menu item to go along with that. It's a real relaxing, cool scene just to kind of end the week with a little music in mind. But don't forget tonight, 9 after 5, call 2-8-7-PLAY. Come on out and jump on the tee with Joe C.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Some good biking memories, that's for sure. When you go back and think about those days, patch kit for that bike tire. Yeah, you definitely had it.
Yeah.
How about the shoestring in the chain? That sucks. Fix and keep pedaling. And when you had, like, I didn't have Levi's. We were poor. This is where I take over Matt's role. We were poor. And
you had Wranglers, right?
Well, no, I used to name them shrink to fit poorly tough skins.
Oh, right, the Sears ones, right?
Yeah, they were straight out of Sears.
I had big Yanks.
Yeah, straight out of Sears.
Big Yanks.
Right, none of us had Levi's, Joe. We called them Levi's, right?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway.
I may or may not have sewn like a red Levi's tag on one of my pants one time. May or may not.
The best part about when you had those pants is when you tore a hole in them, you can get a patch. That was a cool thing. You get the patch.
Yeah, you definitely could work with that. But that's the only, you know, like, I would rip them just so I could get new ones. And then mom would whip out that patch and say, I got it, son. Don't worry about it. I'm like, just want to get those Levi's somehow, some way. Never did. All right. 641-1010. You guys can keep hitting the text line. Designed by Lifetime Enclosures. We speak of Lifetime Enclosures. Tomorrow, Lifetime Flooring. And so that's right there in the same area. You got Lifetime Flooring and Lifetime Enclosures that are together. And you want to talk about some cool stuff, and especially coming up with Mother's Day in mind, you want to stop on by. We will be there from 2 to 4 tomorrow afternoon, and definitely want to take advantage because you got a chance to win tickets. And you can say it's for mom, treat mom, Dave Matthews Band, and a gift card to go along with it. They'll have all sorts of opportunities for you to save and see their samples. So definitely we'll be telling you about that throughout the day tomorrow. But Lifetime Flooring right there off of Phillips Highway, we would love to see you. All right, I'm just going to read a quote. Ron Salem, who heads up the city council, and you heard the announcement from Mayor Deegan earlier, basically saying that we have reached an agreement on the framework of a deal. The negotiating team is currently putting the final details on paper, and we will release that information when it is available. And it's expected that this is going to go before the city council next week. City council president Ron Salem announcing that. As far as, you know, I would think the level of excitement for Jaguar fans, maybe not for all of Duval, but for Jaguar fans, is that this is a major step forward. It's what everyone's been waiting on. Jaguars president Mark Lamping, definitely enthusiastic about everything that was going on up until this point, Leon, that they were going to be able to get it to a point where they could reach an agreement. And I don't know if you're going to have huge hurdles to get over, but Salem's quote is, I will also outline Tuesday night the path forward for the city council. As I have stated many times, I nor any members of the city council have been part of these negotiations. I do not know the specifics of this particular deal, but look forward to engaging the council during the month of June.
But so this means they're at the table before city council.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Okay, so that's a huge hurdle, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely, right? So, I mean, that's promising at this particular point in May. You know,
good start.
Yeah, absolutely. Great start.
You know, what's interesting is they're estimating $1.4 billion. It's going to be more than that. You know that.
It always
number one.
Is.
Number two, you know how much SoFi, take a guess how much SoFi cost to build? The Chargers in the Rams Stadium, which is now in year 3.5. Three or four?
Yeah, three plus.
Year three or year four?
Probably year four by now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your guess? 3.5.
Yeah.
RJ, you got a guess? Now, he might know because he loves L.A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know that monstrosity.
Well, I guess I should have gone the Cali dollar as opposed to the regular dollar.
The Clippers are finishing up their new arena.
Mm-hmm.
$2 billion.
Yeah. Mm. And that's an arena. That's not a stadium. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, this is – you know there are going to be upcharges, materials that are going to rise in cost, delivery time, everything that's going to go into it. Yeah, it's going to cost quite a bit. There's investment on both sides. There's development that comes with the extra investment on the Jaguar side around this area.
But the alternative is
it's going to be expensive.
Right. Yeah. The alternative is no team.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's not. Yeah. Even,
it's going to be expensive. There's really no other way.
Up.
Yeah, to get around it. But and the other thing I'm kind of interested in is this timeline and how soon things happen, because it still had been floated out at least once or twice, and we'll effort to get Mark Lamping on, and then on the city council side, someone as well. But the idea is that you still don't know 100% exactly how much can be done year to year, inside the season, outside of the season. They get to work full time around the clock if they want outside of the season, but there was at least thought that they could do some things, keep games inside that stadium. Don't know if that's completely been taken off the table, but it was definitely up for discussion for a while.
Yeah, with the renovation, it'd be interesting to see. Yeah, you're right. How much, as far as the fans go, how much will the Jaguars actually be in town playing compared to being out of town playing?
Yeah, it hasn't been answered yet.
That's going to be the big argument.
Yeah, it's going to be the big argument.
If we're going to give you 1.4, which, you know, like Joe says, could end up being 1.6, 1.8, 2 mm-hmm. billion, then all 9 games or all 8 games every year will be here. Mm-hmm. Nothing in London.
Yeah,
nothing anywhere else.
I disagree with that. I firmly believe that will not happen, but we will see how it goes. I just believe that it's part of what exists right now, mm-hmm. schedule-wise, commitment-wise, everything. And, yeah.
Well, could that be a negotiating tool?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Very well.
For the fan base, say, hey, listen, we can't give you two in London. We'll give you one.
Mm-hmm. That's their only tool the city has, really. That's really their only leverage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the only other answer to that is that, you know, and again, I'm not speaking for anybody, that we have this many games here, we have an agreement there, we're growing our product, and that is what it is. I don't know what they'll say. I don't know if that's exactly.
But they don't have an agreement in London. It's just like, okay, well, they'll play in London.
Well, they do.
But there's not a contract that they're playing in London.
It's not
what I'm saying.
Hard and fast that goes on forever. But yeah, they've had agreements that will keep them in there. And then, of course,
doesn't the NFL choose every year who's playing?
Yes, the international series is what the NFL does scheduling wise. But the way I remember researching this is that the Jaguars agreed to play a certain number of games, then they've been part of the international series. And I don't know when that expires or you know, someone can educate us on that on the text line, but that they had an agreement. And so I believe that's still going to be part of it. And it may be negotiated out. I have no idea.
I believe if I was the city, I'd stick my heels in and say, no. Mm-hmm. No, it's not going to be part of it. That's what I would do.
Yeah, yeah. We'll find out.
And I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to do.
Well, it would make sense.
Yeah.
If you're putting that much.
You're going to give them $2 billion, which is what it's going to end up being, or close to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what to say to it other than we're going to find out how many either problems, hurdles, however you want to describe it, will come up because of this. But you can imagine there are going to be some. No,
there'll be many. But I think majority of the many will be cleared. This is going to be the one that's going to be the sticking point.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of one game or two games in London, that's going to be the one that's going to be the sticking mm-hmm. point.
Yeah, well, I'd love for them all to be here. That'd be awesome. But I do know that relationship and basically what they have cultivated has been profitable in a lot of different areas, that's for sure. All right, so the Jags, we started talking a little bit about the AFC South, and we're going to get into it a little bit tomorrow and next week. But taking a look at all the position groups and where this team is, because we were looking at that wide receiver room with the Jags. This is the best that Trevor has had since he's been a Jacksonville Jaguar, and you probably could argue for or against that. It's close. There's definitely a good conversation to be had as to the numbers that they have, the quality that they have. But we don't know for sure if Brian Thomas is going to immediately step up and replace a Calvin Ridley, go out and get 1,000 yards, get in the end zone 8 times, have that many grabs. We don't know. But the potential is there to see if this guy can step up and do it. That's just wishing. That's wishing and hoping. But he can easily come in and be a star. We've seen plenty of other rookies at that position step on to NFL football fields, especially lately.
I mean, yeah. Of late wide receivers.
Yeah, right? They really
last
have.
Last 3, 4, 5 years in the league. Yeah, no doubt. But mm-hmm. historically, it's a tough road.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a guy who was a one-year guy, a one-year hit.
Yeah, if you look at the year
before. It was no doubt a great year.
Yeah, if you look at 2022, it's nondescript. In some ways, and this is how I like to at least approach the idea that Brian Thomas could be an emerging star from his college days where he led the nation in receiving touchdowns and then comes into the NFL just ready to do Justin Jefferson-like things or Jamar Chase-like things, because that's what other LSU receivers have been able to do, is that he is coming into a situation. Joe Burrow had nondescript numbers 1 year, and then
boom,
that LSU offense was – the best we've ever seen, had record-setting numbers. So maybe.
Well, and to be fair to Brian Thomas.
Maybe Brian Thomas can go middle year to the last year and just take that quantum leap and then never look back.
And to be fair to Brian Thomas, Jaden Daniels had a great year last year. Brian Thomas, you watch the tape from last year. He made plenty of adjustments on balls.
Mm-hmm.
He took first-level, second-level throws into deep touchdowns. So this is not like – you know, the ball's just placed in his hand. He's right there. He did a lot of work last year. So while I say yes, it was a one-hit wonder type of thing, he played really well last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And his speed, his size, all those things, 50-50 balls, if he can win them, if he can high point them, and then obviously if he can outrun people. And I maintain this, and we talked about this on the Campo and Joe podcast, which you guys can check out. Think of all the defenders that stayed very close to the line of scrimmage when these receivers were having a tough time separating, Leon. And Trevor didn't have a whole hell of a lot of time to throw the football. If the protection was lacking, which I still think could be a concern, but if the protection is lacking, Trevor's got to get the ball out sooner than later, right? He's got two and a half seconds to get that ball out. Mm-hmm. And so defenders weren't worried about those deep routes, those over routes. If they can get a little more protection and then get that guy just to dart his behind down the field and take a safety with him and a corner with him, that's just going to open up a lot of things.
Deep, yeah, and that's what we're hoping, Brian. That's what we're hoping Brian Thomas can do. I mean, he could take the cap off the defense.
Yeah,
he can make the roll the covers to open up the lanes for the other receivers to get open.
Yeah,
and that's a lot to ask for a rookie to do. But I mean, when you get one in the first round, the expectations are elevated.
Yeah,
you know, they absolutely are elevated. So I'm hoping he can do it. I mean, that would definitely help it. But like Matt says before, when it comes to operating efficiently on offense, there's three prongs. You often protect.
Yeah.
You gotta have separation, and your quarterback's gotta throw accurately. Yeah. So I mean, all those three things have got to be incoherent. I mean, gotta be cohesive mm-hmm. in order for you to have any kind of success on the offense.
There's no doubt that football team had better protect. Third and one, and I'll say it over and over and over until we see it on the football field in September. You gotta make a third and one, and you gotta stop a third and one. Those are the two things that this team did not do a very good job of.
But,
and they better do a very good job.
And I've been saying this all along, but and Leon will tell you this too, is when all three of those things happen, the way the rules are geared toward the offense, when all three of those things happen, you can't stop an offense. Mm-hmm. When they're blocking well and when their receivers are getting open, and if that quarterback's throwing remotely accurate, forget it. Mm-hmm. Forget it. You can't stop them. Just the way the rules are made.
Yeah, and that is
the DBs cannot have their hands on the receivers. There's nothing you can do about it.
That's what it's designed to do. Three hots and a cot, Leon. That was one of our texts going back to the bicycle days because we were going back in time, kind of reminiscing with some of that old stuff. Remember three hots and a cot? That's what we got for you. Yeah. All right.
By the way, we got a local guy who's I'm not going to name his place, but he says, "Come on by. We'll throw you on an e-bike and let you ride it, and you'll see how good it is."
Well, look, if I look down, like I go to the gym.
Look at O'Leary.
I go to the gym and I put 5, 6, 7 miles on a bike ride in 30 minutes or whatever. I would like to go out and just not have to pedal. I would just like to just kind of roll. I can get to Sunset Grill and back and not wear myself out, not sweat.
Right. After after working out. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. It's XL Primetime.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. Who lit it up last night? Brought to you by American-Electrical.com.
Gilgeous-Alexander hangs, gets the win! Shai Gilgeous-Alexander!
And how about this finish right here in traffic? Just kind of hangs in the air. He elongates with that right arm. Absorbs some contact. Great touch.
77-69, Thunder. Gilgeous-Alexander, got a three!
SGA, because that's the easy way to go for it. RJ, in open gym, do you constantly say Alexander's full name? Shai Gilgeous. How do you pronounce SGA?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Just trying to make sure open gym Sunday morning.
Right, open gym will know.
11 a.m. Rocking and rolling. But yeah, Oklahoma City made Dallas look ordinary. Matter of fact, there were two kind of blowout wins last night. All right, the way Boston just worked Cleveland, that was a close basketball game until right there at the end of the third quarter, and you saw, I don't know, what was it, a 6-point swing? Miss one way, make the other. And then they just jetted out to a very comfortable 25-point win. So Boston making a statement. Oklahoma City making a statement. Chet Holmgren and Williams, all those guys. Jalen Williams, very, very good player. Anyway, Oklahoma City gets out to a quick start.
You know what? I like the new vibe in the NBA. The young teams are kind of, resurfaced. I mean, OKC's, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Well, I don't know if you can consider Boston a young team. But on the west side, I like the fact that these young teams are emerging and taking over.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, because, I like it.
Because you have Anthony Edwards leading Minnesota, and you kind of got duos in a lot of different NBA cities. Some of them are getting a little bit older. Kyrie ain't the same Kyrie last night, you're looking at Doncic. He just wasn't the same guy. It was historical in the sense that he did not do what he normally does. He had just a slow game creating points. Meanwhile, Oklahoma City was up and down the floor, making a lot of things happen. And then between Tatum, Brown, Wright, you can go on and on with the guys up in Boston. They definitely made things look
good. Right, but do you trust Tatum and Brown?
No, because like if half
push
the time
comes to shove, they get to the finals. Do you trust them?
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. Last year, look, the eternity of time it felt like between Miami and Boston for someone finally to win that series last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then for Jaylen Brown to kind of disappear in the finals. Oh yeah, there's not much that I'm not saying that they're going to be done because they look like the most complete team, but I'm certainly not going to be betting on them. They don't look like RJ. Are you betting? Who are you betting on right now? You're already going to assume T-Wolves, OKC are going to come out and face off in the West, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, at least that's how I'm looking at it.
You think the Nuggets are done, RJ?
I don't think they're done. I think that's why they probably went with a fine of Jamal Murray instead of suspending him. Yeah. But I do think that Minnesota's smelling blood in the water. And when you have a leader like Anthony Edwards, I don't think he's going to try to give Denver any sort of chance to come back in this series.
You beat them in their gym, and then you got a chance to take care of that.
I definitely know that. Right?
What's that fryer you use at your house? What's that called?
The air fryer?
Yeah, they name them not done, but they're in the air fryer.
They're in the air fryer? They're about ready to be done?
Getting crispy.
They're getting crispy right now. They're getting crispy.
I don't disagree, but there's a lot of talent on that team, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of talent. And listen, they're still the champs. Mm-hmm. They're still the champs, but I'm telling you, those first two games.
So if there's a coin flip game, or excuse me, a coin flip series out there, it's the Knicks right now against the Pacers, and the Pacers got hosed by the officials. At least you could argue that. But the other three, I'm not going to say they're wraps, but they definitely look like there's not a lot of mystery after either one game or two games into these series. At least that's the way I've seen it. And because Luka just did not look the way you normally like to see him look, especially we're in the semis of the conference, and I thought I'd see a little bit more last night.
Yeah, I just think The two young teams,
It's game one on the road.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Wait and see how they play in game two. Game two is always like game two of these series are wars.
Yeah, I agree.
This is when the road team thinks they can steal one, and Luke was going to play his tail off in that game.
I hope so. Because these young guns are making these cats look old, bro.
Dallas was only down 10 going into the fourth.
Yeah, true. But and that's without the normal Luka night. So that part you certainly I guess I'm just getting the feeling. And by the way, OKC is highly seeded, so we should acknowledge that. That's why these two teams are facing off, and OKC's opening up with two games in their arena. So we'll see where it goes. But I go back to the fact that Jalen Brunson has been so big with the Knicks that you've seen big plays made from DiVincenzo and some of the other guys that have been able to step up. Pacers are an exciting young team to watch. They're kind of the T-Wolves of the East, if you will. And then you got the old guards that are just trying to hold serve and stick around. That's Denver and Boston, because those are the two teams that were there, either Eastern Conference or Western Conference champs. And, of course, the Nuggets were the champs last year. And so, yeah, changing the guard big. Mm-hmm. We might see some of that.
Yeah. I like it.
Imagine if we got like a Timberwolves-Pacers final.
And?
I'm saying, imagine if we got that.
Yeah, are you saying that'd be good or bad?
It'd be different.
Yeah,
it'd be different.
Yeah, because I think people immediately start to say
I don't think the league office would like it, but it would be different.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, you want new stars to step up. You want the evolution of your game to keep including more and more exciting young players, like you're talking about.
Yeah,
is that true. You can't always order up a Boston LA or a Boston Denver or Miami LA. Or whatever. You gotta let those teams that have been sitting there suffering and they finally built something either through the lottery or however they did it, come up and get it.
Yeah. I think for Matt's point though, I think if you do have two small market teams in the NBA finals, I think the conversation's been dead for a while now, but I think it would truly be laid to rest that stars needing to go to a big market in order to be able to sell themselves or for them to be able to, you know, be marketed better will completely be thrown out the window after that. I mean, if you have two small market teams in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, it's good and bad because people will pan it. It's just the way it is. Even though you're right that those are two outstanding young teams that are bringing along their young talent, and to hell with the big market, we proved that we could get there. Those televisions won't be turned on.
No, I don't think so either.
It might be for Ant.
Yeah. And maybe for Anthony Edwards, which would be nice. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to see something like that happen. But you as soon as you said it,
certainly wouldn't be if it was like Boston against Denver. Clearly, you're going to get more eyes for that.
Yeah,
But which, if the T-Wolves are in there and Ant's averaging, you know, 38 a game,
maybe. That'd be great.
You're going to see. Mm-hmm.
I just think the NBA is going to want a historic team there, like the Knicks or the Celtics. They're going to want a historic team there, or you're going to have the Knicks. Could you imagine the Knicks going back to the NBA Finals? I mean, the last time they went to the NBA Finals, it was a strike-shortened year in 1999.
Wow.
So, you know, if you could have the Knicks back in the Finals, the NBA would absolutely love that, win or lose.
Yeah, and just the fact that they are back is big and good because the Garden hasn't had too many big games in a long, long time.
And Jalen Brunson is—he's moving
money
into that top ten, man.
Yeah,
that's
he's money.
There's some good players.
Yeah, and so that really is the essence of it. Is that you're just trying? Stars are born. Miami gave Boston a nice battle, but they just didn't have enough good talent to make it last. L.A. gave Denver a good battle, just didn't have enough talent to win more than one game in that series. And then Denver looks lousy against the Timberwolves in their own barn, which is still kind of crazy.
By the way, Jalen Brunson, second-round pick in the draft.
Isn't that something?
Which basically, once you get past like pick 12 in the first round, everybody else is just D-League guys.
Right. You don't know. And those guys, we talk about the hungry guys.
Yeah.
And you got to prove that you are better than people think you are. And he made a play to get out and get in a good situation, which he did. Same thing as Donovan Mitchell making a play to get out. Got in a decent situation. Mm-hmm. Heck, Donovan Mitchell had a great game last night, and then it just kind of went evaporated in the fourth period.
What is he, RJ? 6'1", 6'2", maybe?
Yeah, about 6'1", 6'2".
He's not the biggest dude. He's not even 200 pounds, I bet. Yeah.
Well, I mean, isn't it also a crazy thing? He talked about this. I mean, Dallas had given him an offer sheet to where he could sign. He said, I think I'm going to hold off on it right now. I'm going to bet on myself. And he has a great second half of the season, helps Dallas get deep into the playoffs that the year before he goes to New York. Dallas is still trying to put that offer sheet on the table. Like, I think I'm worth more. And New York gave him the contract that he clearly deserved. I don't know if anybody thought that it would be this. There were many people that thought, you know, he's not a star in the league. Why is he getting this contract to be the face of the franchise? And here he is only, you know, just a couple wins away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then four more after that, you're in the NBA Finals. Yeah,
last 10, 38 points a game.
Oh,
last 10
games. The 40-plus the other night, some rare air that he's hanging out with, the MJs of the world.
I don't know how long it lasts, but he's really
– and he's got to take care of the basketball. He had a couple of, you know, really silly decisions that could have haunted him whenever they called the booting of the ball, which was clearly not. All right, we're done. We had a good time. Enjoy a little association tonight. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Lifetime Flooring, 2 to 4 tomorrow afternoon. 2 to 4, you got a chance to win. This could be for mom, could be for you. Dave Matthews Band tickets, as they will be at Daly's at the end of the month. $150 gift card to go along with it. All sorts of other specials. A food truck set up throughout the afternoon. So Lifetime Flooring, 2 to 4 tomorrow afternoon with XL Primetime right there on Phillips Highway between Sunbeam and Bay Meadows. We'd love to see you. Definitely come on by. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Sirs, RJ on a Golf Club of Southampton Wednesday. I know I'm going to see a bunch of you at the Golf Club of Southampton this afternoon. Call 287-PLAY. Get on the tee sheet and join us around 5:15 this afternoon. Italian pizza.
First Coast Honda Dealer Studios, XL Primetime on 1010XL.